like prayer today. I literally did. I mean, and that's where when we start praying the Word of God, He takes us to another word. It's kind of like, hopefully I won't fall. But He takes you here and you step there because you pray a word of Him. And then you step there. All of a sudden, He started taking me to pray the ancient past that Daniel talks about in the book of Daniel. And I started thinking of the ancient past. The disciples, think of the book of Acts. They're staring men down who can take their lives. And what do they declare? Are we to obey God or you? And I started thinking of the ancient past of Paul and Stephen and James. And they lost their lives for this Jesus. Yeah, I'm going to say this. We need a revolution. Because we need a revelation. That we would quit being quiet at our baccalaureates and graduation and prayer on football on Friday nights. When you think of the ancient past of these men and women of God, men that could take their lives, they said, are we to obey God or are we to obey man? And I believe the church has to make it back to those ancient pasts where they become real to our children and our children's children and all of that. Well, how do we make it back to those ancient pasts? I believe we've got to go back to the Word of God. When I talk to people, I'm amazed about how little we do know the Word of God and how much of our firm foundation is on the Word of God. Again, the Beatitudes, Jesus sits down and talks to a group of thousands of people. Again, this is in Matthew 5 through 7 in particular, in that particular gospel. And at the end of talking about living a life of prayer, living a life of fasting, living a life of giving, living a life of forgiving, He's talking about the fundamentals of Christianity, the fundamentals of the way. And He says, you know, if you don't listen to me, you're going to be likened like a person who built their life on sand. And when the rain and the winds hit, your life will be destroyed. But if you listen to what I just said, and you build your life on the rock, the teachings of the rock, Jesus Christ, when the winds and the waves hit, you'll stand firm and be a beacon of light to the lost and the hurting and the needy. And I see so many Christians, and I never thought I'd see it. It's like what Dudley Hall's been saying for 10 years now. We're no longer a Christian nation. We can kid ourselves, and even we can get mad at President Barack Obama that he said that about 2 years ago. But we have strayed so far from the plumb line of righteousness that we've dumbed down the gospel in such a way we don't realize how far we are adrift. And especially, every one of us have commentaries we ought to be having in our tools. I still do it. Jason does all his online, I'm sure, with his Strongs and everything. I'm old school. And I can go through here as fast as he can find it online. Maybe not, but I have greater depth in me by as I read this. Maybe not. I'm just kidding. There's not a single one of us that shouldn't be what Stephen was. Acts 6. Stephen didn't have the Strong's Concordance. Now, he understood Hebrew, so, you know, it was a lot easier for him. But there's not a single word in the Bible that you can't go to a commentary and get a deeper depth of God. Even when I preached this last December about the word gave, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son. And when I looked up that word, just felt like the Holy Spirit, just like giving a prophetic word, says, look up the word gave. God, are you kidding me? And that's just, I know what it means. Look it up. Okay. Look it up. One of the descriptions of gave is adventure. If you remember that. Bridget's over here. She didn't hear my message in December, apparently. Just kidding. I'm playing. She didn't. My wife didn't even listen to it. This is what's bothering me. Just kidding. Just get it out. You got to hear something 8 times before you really get it. Love and grace. Love and grace. But anyway, truth, truth, truth. But now I read the Bible and I think, man, what an adventure it was for Jesus to give. And now when I read where he gave forgiveness to the woman caught in adultery in John 8, what an adventure. What was the guy that sang the song, Stephen Curtis Chapman? What's that? The Great Adventure. I don't know if he ever looked up that word, but do you know that's what you and I are on? And that if we really get into the Word of God, there should never be a boring day in our Christian life. Because you see, when I get to forgive somebody who cut me off, instead of giving them the one finger salute or whatever unredeemed people do, it's an adventure to love. What an adventure it was for Christ to take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He looks up to heaven and he thanks the Father for what he's about to do, the Father's about to do through him. And can you imagine the Spirit of God, the invisible world that we don't see, but God wants us to tap in to that invisible, unseen world of his kingdom and tap into a whole other realm of a greater adventure with this living God. And I really do. He tells the disciples, he starts teaching them about admin. One of the gospels says, sit them in 50s, sit them in 50s. So there's about 20,000 people roughly sitting all in this grass field. And I believe this with everything within me because I look at my own life. God's all about building faith. I think that when he put that bread and that fish on those baskets or whatever that they were going to go feed the people, I don't think it started multiplying right then. I think as he put it there and the disciples turned and started walking, because if you remember, you got to have faith to go to a mailbox. You got to have faith to give a word. And all of a sudden, as they started walking, don't you know Peter? Because we're there too sometimes. Hey! We start walking that way, and there's no multiplication. We start walking, because even Lori this past Sunday, she said, God gives me one small word, one word for Leslie. Almost forgot her name. Don't tell her that. So she starts walking over here and going, God, you got to give me something more than this one word. But again, you got the basket with a little crumb of a fish and a piece of bread. And God's wanting to stretch you because we're asking to be filled with the fullness of his knowledge. And so right about here, the multiplication comes. Because God's all about wanting to grow us in trust and having faith. And Lori told me after the deal, she says, my gosh, the one word went to a paragraph. And for those that were here that heard Leslie share the testimony, it ministered right to her heart. Church, we've got to get over the fact that God's going to give you a full basket before you leave. He's going to give you the little bit of a crumb and a little bit of a fish. And it's up to you to start walking. Come on, that's good. That was really good. That was not even prepared in the notes even today. That's just the Holy Spirit move. But I'm telling you, God's wanting to grow us like that because the fullness of his word, it's leaven. It starts growing. It's increasing. That's the reason this thing right here, Scripture says it's leaven. It's like a little leaven in a bowl, and all of a sudden you wake up in the morning, and it's exceeding the boundaries of a bowl. Some of us are bowls. Some of us are bigger bowls. But that leaven is continuing to grow and build in us. Amen? Come on. That ought to make us all want to be, man, I want to be the biggest bowl I can be, all right? Spiritually speaking. Right? Am I right? Because, man, it's just growing. And every day you read it. And you comprehend it and you ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge to come upon you to that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. What she prayed over her husband tonight, I'm telling you, if we will all agree with it, there's going to be scales start falling from her husband and lost people all around her because those scales cannot stay there as we declare the word of God. Scales start falling from people's eyes of their heart because they're being enlightened with the light of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Word says. We've got to become students of the Word. How many have heard of the Bereans? Raise your hand. Good. Acts 17, I believe it is. Yeah, it is Acts 17. Hey, gang. Karen's going to go help them out. She's got a crew back there. The Bereans would hear Paul preach. They'd go to their little village. Check it out. Is Paul telling us truth? And all of a sudden they go, wow, he's telling us truth. I believe it. Let me tell you what, Sunday after Sunday, you need to check out what I'm telling you, whoever is preaching up here. You need to be checking out Matt at the village. We need to be checking out Terry at Sojourn. We need to be checking out Bill Johnson. We need to be checking out these people. For example, C and I just got saved many years ago. I came out of my culture of drugs, had all of that scripture in me from the Baptist denomination. Let me tell you what, I love the Baptists. They put the Word of God in you. One thing I'm upset with a lot of the charismatic community, we can have great worship and everything, but the depth of the Word of God is surfaced too many times. And that is not going to be this church. It's not Sojourn Church, and it's not Bethel, and it's not IHOP. Bickle is strong in the Word. And there's others also. Those are the kind of things that the charismatic community has to be. We have to be people of spirit and in truth and everything of that. So we're in love with Jesus, and God saves our marriage, and this is 25 years ago or more, somewhere around in that timeline. And we're going to this church, and it was incredible the first 10 months. And all of a sudden, the pastor starts telling us and telling the body, James 5:16, forever we couldn't even go read James 5:16 because it was beaten over our head. And the pastor would say, okay, every one of you, members of this house, Scripture says that you need to go confess your sins to an elder. Confess your sins to an elder and your sins will be forgiven. And I'm going, forgiven? My sins have already been forgiven by that 1 minute prayer. This guy's a lunatic. Now, I loved him. Please hear me. But I have a tendency to, say that though. And so me and one other couple, everybody in the church, and it's about a 300 people church, are drinking the Kool-Aid. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. And there was this Sunday morning that he's having this service in a Sunday school setting. And with everything within me and the wife of this other couple, we stand up and we go, this isn't right. This is not the word that word says. Now you could look at me and that now that we've gone from about 10 months to about a 14-month period in this church, and I'm standing up and challenging the pastor. Please don't do that to me, but hopefully I'm kidding. Hopefully you won't need to, exactly. And I'm going, man, this isn't right. We were asked to come in and talk to the past senior pastor and the head elder of that church. And he began, and then for the first hour, the meeting was sweet, and I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be good, And then, man, did it ever turn. And the guy looked me in the eye, and he says, Mike, if you cannot do James 5:16, you and Celia, sit before an elder, confess your sins, be forgiven of that, then you don't belong in this house. Crushed us. We went to the house. We cried, but we knew we couldn't do it. Us and that other couple left the church. All that to say, a couple other elders that came and saw said, Mike, just go do it. Man, what's the deal? Said, something isn't right. The Word of God gives you a plumb line, and the Holy Spirit blows on that plumb line. And to the degree you want the plumb line of the Word of God to rise in your life is the degree that the Holy Spirit can blow and use you in a powerful way. 6 weeks almost to the date after they asked us to leave, he was caught in a confession with a head pastor in that oversaw this particular denomination. He had been sleeping with six ladies in the church. And to make his own conscience feel right, he was telling everybody in the church to do of what his own nagging conviction of the Holy Spirit is what it was. But he was wanting to hide it. Now, God's restored and redeemed that man, but I give that as an example. If you want your plumb line of the word to be to your ankle, like it says in Ezekiel, the water level, the Holy Spirit is going to be able to blow in a little bit, but you're not going to be able to catch some stuff, and you're going to be drinking wrong Kool-Aid. We have to get back to the place, and we should all be reading the book of Acts over and over in John 14 through 17 and Romans 8. That plumb line of the Word of God's got to get to here. It's got to consume us from head to toe. And we've got to let the Holy Spirit blow so that we will quit falling in to the culture of the world's plumb line. See, and I have this conviction. The things I'm going to share about the Word, it's our conviction. I think I can prove it in Scripture, but I want you to hear what I'm saying there. It's our conviction. We vote for nobody in politics that believes in abortion. We vote for nobody in politics who believes in same-sex marriage. That's the reason I'm appalled that President Obama got elected. He believes in so many things that do not line up with the Word of God. If you voted for President Obama, don't let it be condemnation. Let it be conviction, and don't vote for him in 2012. That's my comment right there. Yeah. We have to get to the place, as it says in Proverbs, that when the righteous lead, the city rejoices. I'm not throwing stones at President Barack Obama. I'm called to pray for him now. That's what Timothy says. But let me tell you what, we need to start checking out the people we vote for. Local also. If you remember what David Barton said, the scary thing about when an unrighteous president gets in there, he starts putting judges in the different districts of the states that rule some very unrighteous laws in states and stuff. We have got to start being as innocent as a dove, which the Word of God keeps us innocent. It keeps us pure, and we've got to be as shrewd as a serpent. In other words, as wise as the devil is, we need to be, and we should be, 100,000 times wiser than him. Amen, right? Okay. Oh, gosh, that's I've already gone 25 minutes. I know many of you have had a long day, and I want to continue to set the backdrop to the Word of God. Matthew 13, it's the parable of the sower. It's the same seed that's the Word of God. And it says that the parable of the sower, which is Jesus, and he's also, and of course you get to represent Jesus now, but Jesus is the Word, and you're supposed to go sow that seed everywhere. But some falls upon the stone, and all of a sudden, because there's nothing there but stone, a walkway of rocks, if you will, the birds of the air come and devour the seed before it can fall in. For those who see communities or family members that are rocky area, your place of intercession needs to be, Lord, get some dirt there where the seed can fall into some soil that will start producing life. Then it falls along some other little places, and the sun, the seasons of life, so come upon it. The word sprouts up, but there's only a little bit of dirt there, so the sprout is quick, but the sun, a hard circumstance comes against it, and by the end of the day, it's laid over and it's gone. Your place is a place of intercession for that word to come deep into people's lives, into your own life, into prodigal sons and daughters, whatever it may be. Your place is a parent, a grandparent, praying for our cities, praying for President Barack Obama, Lord. God, would you let his heart, Vice President Joe Biden. I prayed this for George W. too. I'm not saying he was 100% perfect or any of that. I'm not saying Republican or Democrat. But let me tell you what, we need to start having prayers that the soil of men and women's heart in our cities and leadership and in our family become pliable, that the seed can go deep in and do something. Then there's that place where the seed falls in, the Word of God falls in, but there's thorns and there's thistles. And it tries to start coming up, and when you read what happens to it, the cares of the world start choking it out, and it kills it. And that's the reason we'll see some come in our church. They look like they're on fire for about 3 months, and then they disappear. They could never break out of the cares of the world. They never allowed the Word of God to go deep enough. They didn't tear out the thorn of watching a show that they shouldn't watch. They didn't tear out the little thistle of watching movies that affected their spiritual compass. Because you see, something that's not preached in our churches enough, we've got to quit living where we grieve and we quench the Holy Spirit. And when we watch things that we shouldn't, and now I look at our nation, if I step up here, is it going to send up? God's over here where Coley is. And our nation's drifted this far away. And his voice is getting further and further to hear as a whole, as a nation. You see, when you walk close to God, I have my wife be God now. When you walk close to God, Holy Spirit, when you walk close to him in an intimate way, there's no grieving and there's no quenching. But you see, we've let the culture of the earth start consuming us. And we vote for people in politics that believe in abortion and same-sex marriage. We vote for people who are passing unrighteous laws. Because the culture of the earth has so consumed us that we don't know that this is our compass. This is our blueprint. And that's the reason we need to be in it every day. There's not a single reason that most Christians shouldn't know, if not every Christian, I'll put it like that, every bit as much as the pastor preaching on a Sunday. Now, he may have the anointing to preach that you don't have, but there's no reason you shouldn't walk in as great as revelation as he does of the goodness and faithfulness of God. Amen? You believe that? So then there comes the parable, the last place where the word falls into and it produces 30, 60, or 100-fold. This is what I want to first close of the night. It's the same word, same seed. But for some hearts, it only produces 30-fold increase. Some 60, some 100. Same seed that the devil is able to come and eat and remove from a person's life. All that to say, we need to get back to Proverbs 4:23. We must learn to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issue of life. When I don't choose to forgive quickly, when I don't choose to speak truth in love, when I feel like there's something been done wrong, and I got to wait for the timing of the Lord on that, please hear me. But when I don't keep my heart with all diligence, it lets the devil come and take the seed that is a seed of transformation. Now think about it. The Word of God is a seed of transformation. How come many of us are not being transformed? And I personally believe it's because we're not fulfilling Proverbs 4:23. I was reading some passages this morning and I felt so convicted because it talked about how, might have been a book, but it was just about how we're so loose-lipped and we talk about fellow Christians. And I got to thinking about, man, that is so true, that I'm talking about a son and daughter of the Father's. But yet we're so loose-lipped. Now, that's especially when we won't even go confront the person, just let them know maybe what happened. So all that to say, we have got to get back to keeping a clean heart. I want to say it again, we've got to keep a clean heart, quick to repent, quick to forgive, and to honor. Amen? I know many of you are tired. You've worked a long, hard day, so I'm going to stop there. But I encourage you to read Hebrews 4:12 for next week. For the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts to the joint marrow. It separates the spirit and the soul. That's actually before the joint marrow. But I encourage you to read it. Because the Word of God wants to come into each of us and separate soulless issues versus spiritual issues. It's a discerner of the heart is what it says the Word of God is. And the Holy Spirit blows upon the Word as we read it. Just like today, I was convicted of how many believers we talk about one another. And God's going, no more. Cut it down. Cut it out. So that we can walk in a place of a plumb line. That we can truly start speaking to dead bones. And they would start coming back to life. Amen? Isn't that a good pillar? The Word of God? Don't everybody get so excited. It's a good pillar. It's a really good pillar. It's a foundational principle. And again, when I behold of where the ancient saints walked, we've got to get back to that and then some. Let me pray over you and I'll send you out. And it's 20 till 9. You can be in bed or at home watching the All-Star game here shortly. Some of you didn't even know there was a baseball All-Star game tonight. That's okay. Let's pray. Well, Father, we ask that you would stir up our hunger for the Word of God. God, I repent of my own lack of hunger, Lord. And God, the Word of God cost many of the early church their life. Many of them were killed, Lord, because they loved you and they loved the Word and they loved spreading the message. In fact, when I read the book of Acts, they said, and persecution came and many of them went other places preaching the Word, but the apostles remained there, strengthening the saints. We're told to be quiet, and we are. They were told to be quiet, and they were persecuted, and they went and told everywhere, and it spread around the world. So, Holy Spirit, would you make us hungry for the Word once again? God, would you teach us how to pray the Word and to see the fullness of your kingdom come forth? Lord, I speak your blessings over every one of these people and their families, over their workplace, over their cities. I pray that you'd bless them spiritually with the fruitfulness of your kingdom, to knowing the fullness of your name and the fullness of your heart. I pray that you'd bless them spiritually, physically, with every area of healing that they need, emotional healing. And I speak blessings over them mentally, that they would walk in the mind of Christ, Lord, that Alzheimer's or no dementia would ever come knocking on the doors of their mind, Lord, but they would walk in the fullness of a mind that's alert and ready to bless. And God, that they would be blessed financially for the fullness and the glory and honor of our King. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I hope you get hungry for the Word, because I'm telling you what, I really do believe there's a revival coming of the Word back in our land once again.